Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, my beautiful listeners. This is Jude Albright, and I am so glad that you are joining me for Love Your Addiction. I am very sure that you are aware that everything on this planet has a life. Addictions have a life of their own, too. This is a planet of addictions. What if addiction is not about what you do, but rather about what you are refusing to be, what you are denying yourself? Love Your Addiction provides a dialogue between you, the listener, and me, Jude Albright, your host. Its purpose is to expose truths so that you can see, hear, and feel how to love your addiction or your child's addiction for what it has shown you about you. I welcome you here today to see love in a very different light. I am here to help you recover from the belief that there is something wrong with you or your child, that addiction is bad. I'm wondering, how much of your life have you spent thinking about your own wrongness? When you love something and appreciate it, you bring gratitude into your life. And when you're grateful, you become more loving. When you accept addiction and give it love, you are better able to see what it has been trying to show you about you. With loving comes acceptance of yourself and what you've been through. And here's a bit of an awareness for you. Love never, ever, ever hurts. It's your fear that is coming up. So please forget what our movies and songs and TV programs tell you how to feel about love. Today we are going to be looking at My Son is an Addict. What can I do about it? Boy, that's a rough one emotionally, isn't it? No parent likes to admit to him or herself that his or her child is an addict, drinking and or drugging, and it's even more embarrassing to admit it to the world. Feelings of guilt, shame, and failure surface, and denial becomes much easier at first. Well, we are going to be looking at addiction from a spiritual perspective of allowance and self-responsibility, and also be sharing awarenesses on caretaking and codependency. So, please join me in the chat room, which you can access at the bottom of your listing page, or feel free to call in with your insights at 516-453-9181. We are all in this together, folks, and I am sure that each one of you, like myself, desires peace, joy, love, and abundance in your life. So let's get each other there. I'm not out to try to change anyone. Only you can do that. Only you can change you. You can't even change your child, but you can certainly add to helping change that child. I am simply the messenger of truths for you, which bring you new possibilities for a life of ease, joy, and fulfillment. So please get out of your heads and listen with your hearts. This show is not about morality. It is about information, educational information about addiction, so that you can make choices that will best suit you and your family. So I would really like to start out with a reminder that addiction is a relationship. The person who is addicted is having a relationship with whatever the substance is. And today we're going to concentrate on more of the chemical substances. Later on, we'll go into some of the addictions that we would consider lesser, quote unquote. Addiction is also a limitation. It's a distraction that keeps you from you for any number of reasons. By way of review, during the last two shows, I talked about family roles. And all of the different roles, the four different roles, the hero, the scapegoat, the lost child, and the mascot, who is the youngest, they all can easily become addicted. Because the thing that they all share, they're all hurting. They all have shame. And they are all feeling worthless on some level. They're feeling guilt that they did something wrong. And there is a difference between shame and guilt. Shame is just a feeling that you're worthless. You mean nothing to anybody. Guilt implies that you did something wrong. So let me just quickly review. The hero or the oldest child often becomes the workaholic, the perfectionist, the super responsible one. So that person is more likely to develop addictions later in life when, as caretakers, they just get burned out. The scapegoat is the kid that is the troublemaker, the defiant, super irresponsible one. And so this is the child that very often starts using chemicals early in life, as early as 11 or 12. And it often manifests as a full-blown addiction in middle school and high school. The lost child is the very passive adult and often depressed and married to a scapegoat, often sick, and frequently becomes chemically dependent on tranquilizers and prescriptions. And then, of course, the youngest child, the mascot, the one that's always seeking approval, the hypertensive, anxious one, feels incapable often as an adult and many times moves toward addiction or chemical use. Now, some of you may be saying, but we don't have addiction in our family. Well, that may be so, and your kids can still become addicted. However, I would like you to consider as possible addictions, rage, work, people, new cars, any other distraction that you put your focus on. Because most likely, if your children are patterning their lives after you and using you as an example, there is some sort of an addiction that is going on. Now, again, some of you may not like what I'm saying, and some of you may be wanting to fight me, and that's okay. But just be aware of this, please. I don't know you personally. I don't know what your life has been like. I don't know how you've treated your kids, and I don't know how your kids feel. What I am sharing with you is information that I have learned personally in my own life and from the many, many clients that I have dealt with in the field of addiction. So please, get into those hearts and listen. For example, what would you have to give up if you stopped believing it's okay for your child to experiment with drugs? I have had many clients and neighbors say to me, You know, all kids experiment. All high schoolers experiment. By the way, that is not so. Kids with high self-worth wouldn't even consider messing around with drugs because they don't want to mess up who they are. Kids who don't feel good about themselves do mess with drugs because they're looking to feel better. And drugs and alcohol temporarily do that. They give us initially a false sense of euphoria or feeling good. Okay, so some of you also may be saying, well, my kid only smokes weed. And you know, I did too, and I'm okay. Now, I'm going to ask yourself, are you really okay? Are you leading a happy, fulfilled, joyful life? If you are, fabulous. But if you believe that your kid only smokes weed and because you did it too, it's okay, you might want to really revisit that belief, because today's pot, today's weed, today's marijuana is not anything like it used to be 10, 20, 30 years ago. Today, you have no idea what it can be laced with. And we've had some real problems here in southern Florida with a designer drug called Flaca, which has appeared in pot, in weed. And it is such a scary, destructive drug for this reason. Number one, it gives you super strength powers that it is nearly impossible for a couple of cops to hold you down. You are not affected by a taser. And oftentimes, when you are finally subdued by many, many people and taken to an emergency room, you have to be tied down to the table, strapped to the table, in order for physicians to do their job and try and assist you. It is a really, really scary drug, and it's something that most kids do not even consider could be a problem. Now, a lot of you may be saying, you know, weed is a natural plant. Marijuana is natural, and look at how we're talking about natural things today. It can't be harmful. What about looking at it this way? So is the poinsettia a natural plant? It's a beautiful plant. However, every Christmas season, some young child dies because he's eaten that natural plant, which is highly poisonous. There is a place for everything. And yes, there is a place for marijuana. It does help with glaucoma. It certainly is effective in helping people who are in late-stage cancer and dying in excruciating pain. However, if your kid is only smoking weed, according to your belief, chances are he or she is also doing other drugs or doing other things that are highly harmful and highly addictive. If you can relate to some of the things that I've just said, do something. Choose health for you and your child. Trust and believe what you are seeing. Take some extra time and ask yourself, what can I really do? Well, there are many things that you can do, depending upon the age of your child. This is a wonderful way of starting deciding how you are going to handle your child's addiction. Have a morning or an evening gratitude session with yourself privately. And number one, be very grateful that you have the courage to face your child's addiction and the willingness to do something about it, because you are the only one that can do something about it other than your child. Number two, give yourself permission to do what is necessary to get help. Even if your child tells you that he or she hates you and will never speak to you for the rest of your life, you are the adult. As a parent, you have taken on the role of being responsible for your child until he or she is considered of adult age, which we consider age 18. Even if your expectations are low or non-existent that you can help, do it anyway. And number three, be thankful that you are doing something before your child is 16 and able to drive, because you may be helping to prevent a deadly car crash where either your son or your daughter, and we don't like to think of girls as having addictions, and they have just as many addictions as boys, but we tend to concentrate more on the boys, or you can help prevent a deadly car crash where they kill somebody and end up in prison for the rest of their lives. So gratitude promotes love, and loving energies promote healing. So by sending love to your child's addiction, by loving your child into help, you are creating the solution that you have been looking for. And by being grateful and having that gratitude session, the solutions are going to come up for you. That is a guarantee. That is a promise. Now, let's look at before age 18. You have many, many options. If you're not exactly sure how to handle things, you can certainly Google adolescent addiction online. You can also go online and find treatment centers specifically geared toward adolescents in your area. And if you have none in your area, and this is an area of treatment that is really lacking, you may have to travel some distance, but you can call and you can explain what's going on, and you will be given information on how you can help your child in your area. I highly, highly encourage you to do something before your child turns 18. You have the power. You have the control. You are the parent. You can mandate that your child go into treatment, and you will be supported by the treatment staff, and they will give you a variety of ways in which you can do that, which we are not going to discuss in this 30-minute program, because I want to talk a little bit more about other options when your child gets older. Trust that you know when you're in trouble and when your child is in trouble. We intuitively, as parents, know this. You intuitively know this. Know that when you are in fear because you don't want your child to hate you or you don't know what to expect, you are not loving, because love and fear cannot live in the same place. fear is the absence of love. When you truly love your child, and I know all of you do, you want the best for him or for her. And you know what is best because you are the adult. So you can force treatment. A lot of parents tiptoe around, and I believe that I've lost a connection here. I am going to fool around with something for a minute, hoping that I have not, and then I will continue. Okay. I believe that I lost a connection for a minute there. I'm hearing some really, really, really strange noises, and I'm not really sure what is going on. But right now, it looks like we are live. Okay, so let's say that you have been afraid to do anything. You're afraid because you're a mom and you believe your son's in trouble, but your husband believes your son is not in trouble. He's just acting out like your husband did when he was a kid. So you just kind of let things ride and you walk on tiptoes, and bingo, all of a sudden your child reaches 18. Your child is now considered an adult. And there is nothing that you can do other than tell your child that you need him to go into treatment, that he has a problem, and very often this does not work. Your best bet then is to stage an intervention, a professional intervention, and know that if you are providing money to an adult child that is over 18 who refuses to get a job, who stays up late and wants to sleep all day, and you're providing room and board, or you're providing money for him to go away to college, and you know that he really isn't going to classes, that's not love. That is not love at all. That is guilt, that is shame, and that is fear. And the addiction community has a word for that, and that is called enabling or codependency, which we are going to talk about on our next show. And I would like to invite you to join me here on Monday, March 21st, where we will continue this discussion, highlighting differences between enabling and caretaking and loving and allowing. And we're going to be talking about your addiction identity. So I mentioned that when your child has reached 18, an intervention is appropriate. However, when staging an intervention, a loving intervention, which shows your child what he or she has been doing that has been harmful to himself or herself or the family, when you stage that, very often the child will listen to you and go for help. But also very often you have to set some parameters. You have to be absolutely positive that you are no longer willing to enable this adult child and tell them that. And if they refuse the help, then you have to follow through with what you've said you're going to do. So you don't want an intervention unless you truly, truly are willing to stand by what you say. Now, I've given you a lot to think about, and many of you will be considering some of these points, and many of you are going to find yourself very angry at the things that I've said. And I will repeat what I said at the beginning. I don't know you. I don't know your situation. But I do know through experience how this works, and I know that love is the answer. Not anger, not hatred, and I'm not saying that you're not going to be pissed off, because you are. But by pushing your child, whether that child is under 18 or over 18, by constantly ragging on them, that's not going to do it. They're only going to get more pissed off at you. But by loving them in your own way and telling them that you love them but that you're concerned about them, that's the answer. That is the clue. You are choosing awareness then by, you are choosing awareness rather than judgment. Traditionally, we focus on what's broken. Nothing is broken. Your addiction, your child's addiction, is there to show you something about you or about them. You can't get rid of anything by trying to push it away. The universe supports you by expanding more of it. So you need to transform it. You need to love it and choose another experience and focus on that. And by the way, just to lighten things up a little bit, I'm wondering how many of you know why people actually clink their glasses before drinking a toast? This was a new one for me, too. In earlier times, it used to be, very common for someone to try to kill an enemy by offering him a poison drink. And so to prove to a guest that the drink was safe, it became customary for the guest to pour a small amount of his drink into the glass of the host. And then both men would drink it simultaneously. Well, this was only done by males. When the guest trusted his host, he would only touch or clink the host's glass with his own. Interesting how we absorb some of these strange customs into our own life. Definitely. I ask you in ending, what if being addicted is not about what you do, but rather about what you are refusing to be? What can you now be to create your healthy, loving lifestyle for you and your child? You can find out more answers, and you can reach me at judealbright.com or beingrecovered.net. And on the page that you're looking at right now is the new website, which is jude4.wix.com/loveyouraddiction. What is truth? The sight of truth awakens and stirs us. The voice of truth repeatedly echoes awareness in us. The smell of truth sweetly comforts us. The taste of truth refreshingly nourishes us, and the feeling of truth warmly embraces us. Could we all now take this opportunity to send love to all addicted people on the planet and their loved ones who are in pain? I'm sure that could help. Please remind yourself to stay wrapped in your truth and your love. Remembering the true, magnificent, powerful, beautiful you. And please make the world a better place with you in it. Bye for now.